La radio libre de Cuenca. Radio Color, la radio libre de Cuenca.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to What's the Fact? Yay. Today, this is the program number 7. Okay, so 7 programs already. Yes. It's not bad. Yeah. It's not bad at all. Okay, so let me introduce, as we do every week, our photo teachers, okay, that are here with me today. So let's begin with Agus, okay, on the decks.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Agus. How's it going? Okay, and then we have got Anna.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Anna. Nice to see you again. And finally, Brenda is back with us today.
Hello, yes. Brenda. Hello, baby.
You know, I love that.
I know that.
All right. So let's remind our listeners where they can find us. Okay. So Brenda, for example, tell us one place where they can find us.
Yes. At Radio Color with K. Dot E-S. On okay. The web. That's on the web.
Thank you very much. Actually, we recommend that.
Yeah.
And Anna, where else can we find? Can they find us?
So you can also find us on the radio at 106.2 FM.
Okay. Thanks very much. And Agus, is there another place where they can find us?
Yes, of course, in our Facebook webpage. You know that.
Okay. Excellent. So do try to find us, please. Fine. So today I have got to say a very happy birthday to one of our students. Okay. One of my favorite students, I must say. Okay, her name is Barbara, all right? And it's her birthday this week.
Happy so, birthday, Barbara.
Happy birthday, happy Barbara. Birthday. Okay, good luck with your B2, by the way. But, you know, make sure you have a blast this weekend,
yes.
Okay? Fine. So, and also, I would like to say very good luck to our friend Ivanka.
Our Bulgarian friend. Ivanka.
Bulgarian friend. Yes. Okay.
Because, very you know, specific.
She's been studying really, really hard for her public exams.
Yes.
Exams. Okay. And she's taking the exam today. Mm-hmm. So, you know, best of luck to you, Ivanka.
Good
okay.
Good luck.
We miss you.
Come on, Ivanka. Strength and honor. Yeah, okay. This is in Gladiator. This is a very
okay. May the force be with you.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So today, as usual, we will have our grammar and common mistakes section, led by me, and then we will have the song, okay, with an idiom in it, as usual. And today we will discover how carnival is celebrated in different places around the world, since mm-hmm. this is carnival weekend, okay,
yes.
In most parts of the world. Okay, so we will find out, you know, how it is celebrated in a few important places.
Yes.
Okay. If we have time, we might do some more of our reading. Okay. And we will have the What's On section, or What's the Fact, What's mm-hmm. On in mm-hmm. Cuenca, right? Mm-hmm. As what started last week. All right. So, let's get started. Shall we do some grammar?
Yes.
Yes, yes, please.
All right.
Grammar.
Yeah. You know, like I tell my students, guys, I'm sorry, grammar is never fun, okay? Grammar is rather boring, but yeah. not necessarily so yeah. much. Okay, so let's see some helpful tips on mm-hmm. grammar. For example, as a grammar and speaking teacher, I usually hear and I usually read the following mistake. I will like to travel, or I will like to play, whatever. Okay, they say I will like. No, we don't say that, okay? For some reason, they write that sometimes. But it's actually I would like to travel, I would like to play. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Exactly.
So they, you know, they, you shouldn't mix the two modal verbs up. Okay?
It's a common mistake.
It's a common mistake. I don't know why. Yeah. But yes. And now, speaking of this mistake, you know, I say I would like to travel, but I didn't say I would like traveling. You know, Agus, you know, why can we not say I would like traveling?
Because would plus like, it's always followed by an infinitive of two.
Exactly. That was the reason, okay? So we can say I like traveling, I like to travel. You've got the two options here, but I would like to travel. That's the only option in that case. Mm-hmm. All right, very good. Now, some other people say or write classic music, okay? I like classic music. I never listen to classic music. Well, that's not right. So what we actually say, or we must say, is classical music. Okay, classical ending in A-L.
Yes.
Actually, the word classic exists, okay, but we don't use it with music. We use it for a classic car, okay, or a classic collection of books,
music,
things like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Finally, some more grammar. The difference between for and since, right? Many people mix them up, and because the translation into Spanish is kind of similar, but the use is different. So, Anna, when do we? Well, I must say first of all that for is used with periods of time, okay? A quantity of time. For example. For 2 months, for 1 year, etc. Anna, can you give us an example with four?
Yes, so I would say I've lived in Cuenca for 4 months.
Exactly.
And it is true.
Yes, it's true.
Because 4 months is is a period of time, so we say four. And Brenda, since is used when you mention the date or something similar to a date.
Yes.
So, Brenda, can you give us an example, please?
Of course. For example, I could say I have been living in Cuenca since May 2016.
Exactly. Okay, because May 2016 is a date.
Yes.
Right? We may also say something similar to a date. For example, I haven't seen Mark since his wedding day.
Yeah.
All right? Because his wedding day has a date, so it's something similar to a date.
Specific, yeah.
Right? And I don't know if you have noticed, but we use for and since with perfect tenses, especially present perfect.
Yes.
I haven't seen Mark since his wedding day. I have lived in Cuenca for 4 months. All right?
Yeah.
So, you know, these are some things that you must keep in mind. And finally, related to the last word, since, many people tend to say signs. I don't know why, okay? But if I was given a euro for every time I have to correct this pronunciation, I would be rolling on money, okay? I would be
millionaire,
very rich, okay? So it's since, not
signs,
not, signs, okay? Please. Fine. So let's see some false friends now. We see some false friends every week. So today we have got the first one, which is anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Somebody can be anxious about something, about some situation.
Yes.
Brenda, could you explain the meaning? Well,
Our
listeners or many English students or students of English might think that anxious means ansioso.
Ansioso. Sí.
But that's not the correct translation, is it?
No, it isn't. It is not correct. Anxious mean when, like, very nervous, when you're, like, having a bad time. And in Spanish, we could say nervioso to translate this word.
Nervioso, inquieto.
Nervioso, right. Inquieto.
But not necessarily ansioso.
Ansioso. That's different.
And by the way, the word anxious in English has different spelling from the Spanish ansioso, right? It's in English, it's A-N-X-I-O-U-S. Okay, so they use an X, not an S, right? Very good. Now, another false friend that we would like to comment on is casual. Mm-hmm. Casual. Casual looks like casual. Well, actually, they have exactly the same spelling. But casual does not mean casual. Mm-hmm. Okay, what does it mean, Brenda?
Well, casual means when, like in Spanish, in Spanish would be informal, desenfadado. Mm-hmm. Not like sometimes we use casual in Spanish to talk about like a dress code.
Yeah,
and that is not correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's we different.
Say ropa casual.
Ropa casual.
What does that mean? That you bumped into that in the street? No. Right? No. So ropa informal is what we should say probably. Okay, ropa desenfadada.
Ropa desenfadada.
But
like
smart.
But smart. So possibly not a tracksuit.
Yeah.
Right. And the last one that I would like to see today is conductor. Mm-hmm. Okay, conductor. The spelling is identical to the Spanish conductor. Mm-hmm. But as you probably know, conductor does not mean conductor. Okay, Agus, what does conductor mean in Spanish?
In Spanish, it means director de orquesta. Uh-huh. Yeah. But it can also be cobrador de tren.
Yeah.
So it's not the same meaning.
Not at all, no, right?
Definitely not.
Not at all. Conductor. And actually, from this noun, we can have a verb, or there is a verb related to it, which is to conduct, okay? Mm-hmm. And you can conduct an orchestra if that's your job, or you can conduct an experiment even, okay? Experiments are conducted, all right? So please don't mix them up, don't confuse the meanings.
Instead of saying driver, please do not use conductor.
That's right. Okay, very good. So I hope it's clear enough. And and now let's move on towards the next section. That would be the music break, okay?
Yeah.
Of course.
So, you know, Agus, could you tell us which song are we going to listen to today?
A really nice one. It is Like a Canary in a Coal Mine by The Police. Do you know that song?
I'm not sure. I do know the group,
but
I'm not sure about the song.
I don't know the song, which is weird because The Police is one of my favorite bands. Mm-hmm. And I really like Sting and The Police. But
sometimes you think you don't know the song, but then when you listen to it, it comes back to mind and it's like, it's true, of course I know it.
Yeah.
You just didn't know the title was like that.
Yeah.
Definitely, but probably it's going to be new for you because it was for me too.
Okay.
So, okay.
So, are you ready?
Yes.
Of course, yeah.
Bring it on.
So, be ready for Like a Canary in a Coal Mine.
You're so free.
Okay, so that was a short song for today. I hope you enjoyed it, though. Fine. So, canary in a coal mine. That sounds like a good idiom for our listeners to learn. So, Anna, could you please explain, you know, what the song talks about, maybe, or you know, or how we can relate the meaning of the lyrics of the song to the idiom today?
Yes, of course. So, in the song, we could hear the lyrics: "You live your life like a canary in a coal mine. You get so dizzy even walking in a straight line." Mm-hmm. So, what does this mean? Well, this is a reference to caged canaries, so a type of bird that miners would carry down into mine tunnels with them. And they did this because if dangerous gases like carbon monoxide collected in the mine, the gases would kill the canaries before killing the miners.
Wow.
So they worked as a kind of warning mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that the miners would have to get out of the tunnel and leave as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. So the meaning is related to the idea that something which is sensitive to maybe something dangerous mm-hmm. could be useful in indicating that there's potential danger ahead. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a warning. Yeah. A warning of trouble or danger.
Mm-hmm. Do we have anything like in Spanish for this? Is
it not that I know.
Can we translate?
I think it's very easy here to see the image, to see the metaphor. Yeah. Okay. Like a canary, the poor canary, going ahead
so
of the miners,
sad.
You know, and you know, being the first to die yeah. in case there was a gas leak. Like
they used the canary to save their lives.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So
it's a hero.
canaries
are heroes.
Okay, but no, there's nothing in the Spanish language like that. Mm. We don't have any idioms related mm-hmm. to that.
Because sometimes we cannot translate all the idioms
yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. from English to Spanish. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah. No, but it's. I think it's very easy to understand the meaning.
Yeah, yes. The example of the canary.
Yeah, what happens with the canary? Canary, it's yeah. already known. I knew. Mm-hmm. And so it's very specific.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So thank you very much, Anna.
You're welcome.
Now, how about seeing some more idioms? Okay. And today we're going to see some more animal-related idioms. Mm-hmm. All right. And actually, the first one is going to be about birds as well. Okay. And you're gonna find it familiar. It's gonna sound familiar to you. Because in this case, we do have something very, very similar in Spanish. Mm-hmm. The idiom goes, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Mm-hmm. I'll say that again. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
Yes.
Agus, really. Brenda,
yeah.
What do we have in Spanish that is similar to that?
Yeah, we could say, más vale un pájaro en mano que mil volando.
Oh, so yeah. that's slightly different mm-hmm. from what we say in Spain. Mm-hmm. Remember that Brenda is originally from the Dominican Republic,
yeah.
and the kind of Spanish that she speaks is not exactly the same, necessarily. Okay, so can you say that again?
Más vale un pájaro en mano que mil volando.
Uh-huh. Agus, what do we say in Spanish?
I always say, más vale pájaro en mano que cientos volando.
Que ciento volando. Wow, you say ciento. Okay. So it's slightly different.
So from Madrid and Cuenca, there is also a small difference.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sometimes. So, wow.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, three different versions of the same idiom in Spanish.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, the equivalent in English, which might come very useful to you, mm-hmm. right? A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. That basically means that, you know, sometimes it's best to keep what you have, mm-hmm. even if it's not much, than to long for yeah. something that is a lot, that is very shiny, is very,
I don't know. You don't know the risk.
Exactly, but you might might lose it all yeah. in the end. Okay, mm-hmm. very good. Now, let's do another one. Like a bull in a china shop. Okay, mm-hmm. let me say it again. Like a bull in a china shop. Okay, first of all, let me tell you that china it can be the country, of course, but a China shop, or when you talk about China as a material, it's porcelain, it's porcelana. Okay, China is what we call porcelana in English.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like a bull in a China shop, you know, what might that be?
Como en un elefante, como un elefante en una cacharrería.
That's very good. Okay, como un elefante en una cacharrería. So in this case, we do have an equivalent as well, but we don't say bull, we say elephant. Okay.
In what case do we use here in Spain como un elefante en una cacharrería?
Well, the same as in English. We use that when somebody is very clumsy and you know somebody perhaps doesn't know how to behave in a place, you know, and he might break things or do something inappropriate, I can imagine.
Yeah, so, I can relate to that because a bull is a very heavy animal and the China is very...
delicate.
Fragile.
Yeah.
So the combination could be...
terrible.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's basically it. So
and China is expensive. So.
Could you give us an example with in a sentence, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. So for example, you could say something like, "Don't go about it like a bull in a China shop."
Mm-hmm.
So it would mean maybe if you were angry or mad about something and you went kind of
in a delicate situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe.
And you handled it in a really aggressive way.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you would use it in this context.
Yep, okay. Absolutely. All right, so that was interesting as well.
Yep.
And to finish off with the idiom section, you're going to understand this one perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Curiosity killed the cat. Okay, curiosity killed the cat.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've got exactly the same idiom in Spanish.
Yep.
La curiosidad mató al gato. Okay,
yep.
What does it mean?
It's when we don't want someone to ask too much, because probably it's a delicate situation, and you know, if you are gossip and you just want to know what is happening, hey, what happens, and hey, leave it.
Keep the questions to yourself. You know, it's best not to ask in this situation because you might have trouble if you ask
too
much.
And look at the cat.
You know, I suppose because cats are usually very curious animals.
Yeah.
They want to sniff around all the time and, you know, and get to know everything and, you know, so it's better to be, you know, you know, not to be so curious.
We just killed the poor canary.
And now we want to kill the cat.
The cat,
You know, we are, you know, killers.
This is like the dark side of the radio.
I just hope nobody kills the radio star. Okay? Just saying. All right. So, this program, What's the Fact, as you know. So now, how about getting to the facts? All right? So, remember, today's fact is Carnival, okay?
Yeah.
Right. So, are you looking forward to Carnival, guys?
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you planning to dress up this weekend, or to have a Carnival party, maybe?
I don't know. I'd like to see it, but I don't know if I will personally dress up.
In my country, we celebrate Carnival on February 27th.
Mm-hmm.
Every year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Independence Day.
All right.
Yeah. And my favorite costume was La Muerte en Jipe.
What is that?
I painted my face in white, very, very pale, with dark circles around my eyes. It's like I was dead by a car accident.
Wow.
Yeah, that's me, you know.
That reminds me of Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can dress up as... It could be Halloween or Carnival. It's just being different for a day.
It doesn't necessarily have to mean something happy or something.
No.
You know, with rainbows and unicorns.
No, you like
not
dead
in
people.
My case.
You like dead people. So.
But remember that in Mexico.
Yeah.
But that's on November. That's All Saints'
Day.
El Día
de los Muertos.
Yeah, El Día de los Muertos. You know, they do that kind of thing with with skulls and skeletons, and they decorate the skeletons and everything. Yeah. It's kind of creepy, but at the same time, it's cool.
It's a tradition.
Colorful.
It's like they celebrate death.
Yeah, like death doesn't have to be
the end.
The end, yeah. It doesn't have to be so bad.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, in this program, we like to see the different traditions around the world, mm-hmm. to, you know, to compare how we do things here in Cuenca, maybe in other parts of Spain, and of course in the English-speaking countries, and why not in other countries where they speak Spanish or any mm-hmm. other language.
Yep.
So that's really cool. Right, so let's get to the point now, and let's see how Carnival is celebrated in a few important cities in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the most important city in the world, as you know, is Cuenca.
Yes.
Of course it is.
So,
Viva Cuenca!
So,
Viva España!
Agus.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about Cuenca's Carnival?
Yes.
Copón.
Copón.
Yeah.
I would like to talk with you about how Carnival is celebrated in Cuenca, mm-hmm. but at the beginning of the 20th century, okay? Uh-huh. The most important events were the masquerade balls. Can you tell me what the masquerade balls was? Do you know what it is?
Well, I suppose it's a kind of dance. A ball is a dance,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Yep.
Which people dress up, in this case, with masks,
yes.
I guess.
Yes, but I think when we think about Carnival, it's always related to an opportunity to flirt for the shy ones.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah, because you are in a custom, so...
Because you can't really see the faces, so it's,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
it's less shy this way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So those masquerade balls were celebrated in El Círculo de la Constancia, with what we know as the casinos of Cuenca, okay, mm-hmm. the casinos, the Cuenca casino, Cuenca's casino, sorry. And it is said, and this is lovely, that there were three kind of women between the ones who attended them. The inexperienced young beauty, okay, mm-hmm. the eternal singles, and the little child who pretended to be an adult. What do you think about it?
Wow. That's cool. Because it's not that different nowadays, I guess. Right? You see, maybe we have more types,
yeah.
but these three types are a classic.
Mm-hmm.
Like the inexperienced young beauty, you know, the eternal singles, you know,
yeah.
like
yeah.
women
like
in...
Our
you know,
opportunity
yeah.
to flip,
yeah.
definitely.
And the little child who pretended to be an adult, you
yeah.
know, that's still happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe the difference nowadays is that they have Facebook and Twitter and stuff.
Yeah, but I think this is personal. This is face-to-face. I think it is more exciting.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at men, because there are also three kinds of men.
Mm-hmm.
And they are. We can distinguish among the married party goers who went there to remember old times. This is amazing. I really like it. I recognize myself in that kind of... This is, I think, my role today when I'm in a party, to remember old times. Yeah.
But you're so young. What are you talking about?
Yes, but I started to go out very very soon. The singles, of course, and the teenagers who tried their luck at love.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah, remember those years.
Yeah,
when you were teenagers.
Yeah.
So frustrating sometimes.
Yeah.
So boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in this masquerade balls, everything was socially acceptable.
Mm.
Okay? I have, because Mariluz has found it out. Mariluz, thank you very much. Good work. And there is an anonymous poem, and if you let me, it's I think it's going to be very, very nice. Just a second, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's in Spanish, of course. But
yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Vaya mujer bonita, vamos a hacer un arrojo. ¿Quieres que bailemos prenda? Lo que tú quieras, Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
Claro está que yo te conozco más que puedes figurarte. ¿A quién haces ahora el oso por esa carretería donde estás hecho un tenorio pasándote el día entero y la noche haciendo cucos a una rubia muy bonita y que se gasta unos ojos más negros que el azabache? I think it's lovely.
Yes.
It's lovely.
It is, yeah. I don't understand half of the words.
Yeah.
And this is only one century old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, you know, there are lots of words that we don't use nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
It's impressive.
Okay, and if we talk about nowadays Cuenca's Carnival, okay, it is considered a public show where costume parades take place during the afternoon, and at night there are several fancy dress balls in pubs, okay, of course. Let's say that now it is a bit different from the 20th century celebrations, but for sure, Carnival is still a party to have fun and flirt if you are single. Mm. Don't you think so?
Yeah, yes,
to have fun. Yeah, indeed.
I guess so. Yeah, like many people take the chance, and it's like before you read that anything was accepted, you know, on that night, and I think it's true. Like
it's, to be it's, free for a day.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like we've been, you know, back in the days, people had been calling themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, all the social rules were quite strict, and you know there was not much you could do in public, and you know, for one night a year or a couple of nights a year, you know. Everything was allowed.
Yeah, so, good point. You
know, yeah. Yeah, I really like it. Talking about costumes, it has also changed. Now we don't usually wear glamorous costumes as we did before. But it is a trend to dress up as celebrities or politicians and make jokes about what they have done recently. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you are not very creative, you can also choose a common fancy dress, such as Cersei nurse,
yes,
or a policeman. Yes, they are classics, or anything you like. Of course, what do you think about it?
Yes, yeah, so I think the final idea is to have fun.
Yep. Yeah. Definitely to dress up.
To dress up and have fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the.
I think the funniest moment in a costume party or in a parade or everything is when you find your friends and you don't know which costumes are they going to dress up.
You have to guess.
Yeah. Oh my God. This is amazing. Yeah, I really like.
Some people are very creative with costumes.
But sometimes I think this kind of traditions, it depends on the town, but many people is shy.
Yeah.
And they don't really want to dress up, but I really recommend it.
Yeah, it's good fun. It's really good fun.
Yeah.
All right. So now, I'm going to talk about a different carnival, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's not that famous, I'm afraid, you know?
No? Like,
not as much as Cuenca's, right? So, but anyway, you know, it's the carnival on the Canary Islands, okay?
Mm.
You know, it's all about canaries today.
Yeah. Please don't kill this one.
Okay,
No.
I will not. Okay, so let me talk about the Carnival of Santa Cruz de Tenerife, okay, which is held each February, okay, in Santa Cruz de Tenerife, you know, the capital of the largest of the Canary Islands, right? This carnival is considered the second most popular and an internationally known carnival after the one held in Rio de Janeiro.
Really?
Okay, in Brazil, yeah. So it's...
Wow.
That's how important
it's
gets.
Huge.
Partially for this reason, the city of Santa Cruz de Tenerife is twinned with the city of Rio de Janeiro. Twinned means that, you know, they have this sort of agreement and they're like brothers or sisters, okay?
They cooperate. Yeah,
they do things together, good. Now, in 1980, it was even declared a tourist festival of international interest by the Secretary of State for Tourism. Mm-hmm. So that's how important it is. Their festivities on the streets of Santa Cruz de Tenerife start on the Friday before Carnival with an opening parade, which reaches its height during the night when thousands of people in fancy dresses dance until the early hours of the next day. Mm-hmm. Right? The party continues night after night until Ash Wednesday.
What is Ash Wednesday?
Ash Wednesday is what we say, what we call Miércoles de Ceniza.
Next week.
Next week.
Next week for us.
Yeah.
That day, people of Santa Cruz de Tenerife celebrate the Entierro de la Sardina, the burial of the sardine, which is a very Spanish tradition, I guess. And with this event, the carnival is officially over. However, the party starts up again the following weekend, known as the weekend of the piñata.
Oh, wow, because piñata for me is like the piñata that you use.
You hit with a stick?
Yeah, on your birthday when you're a kid. Yeah.
And there are sweets and other things coming
inside. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
So, yeah. So, you know, these guys from the Canary Islands, they love a party and they love a parade. And, you know, so even when the carnival is officially finished,
they keep
continue,
dancing.
They go on, yeah. You know, dancing and celebrating.
They have such a nice weather.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yes,
we should do that.
They need to have. They have to have fun.
Yes,
it's an obligation for them.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Now the festival on the Canary Islands in Tenerife has two parts. There is the official carnival, and there is the carnival on the streets. The official carnival has more than 100 groups, including murgas, comparsas, rondallas, and other musical groups. The street carnival is more loosely organized and comprises the people celebrating on the streets. Okay, thousands of people come each day to the streets to participate, most of whom wear a disguise in accordance with carnival tradition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so it's a crazy thing.
Sorry?
It's a crazy thing.
It must be crazy, yeah. I have not experienced that myself, but I would love to.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, there is like a very important moment is carnival, which is the Queen Festival, the Queen Selection Gala. Okay, the Wednesday before Carnival weekend, the Queen of the Carnival is elected. The event is usually broadcast to the entire country and abroad by satellite.
I think I've seen it on TV.
It's like a big issue, yeah.
Yeah.
In the whole of Spain.
Mm-hmm.
During the gala, the candidates parade across the main stage. A jury composed of members of the municipal corporation and celebrities chooses a queen. There is also a vote via SMS.
Oh.
So it's important.
Yeah.
Technology is everywhere.
Yeah. After choosing the bridesmaids, the mayor hands the scepter to the winner. Okay, it's like the scepter is this kind of cane or stick that is held by you know, kings and queens, etc.
Yeah.
Since the costumes are heavy, the candidates rely on wheeled transportation. That's how heavy they are.
Wow! Okay?
And not just that, it takes months for the artists to make that. To tailor that, it's
lots
amazing. It's really impressive.
Preparation.
Anna, have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen any images from this carnival?
No, I actually haven't. No.
Uh-huh. It's quite impressive. It's a little bit like in Rio. Okay.
Yeah.
That's why it's the second most important.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, but the costumes are like buildings.
Exactly. Yeah. They're not just tailored; they're built.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and there is a person inside. You know, like the poor girls.
Moving.
They can't really move.
And breathing.
But I don't know if it was last year. There were five or six persons helping her to walk.
Wow.
Because it was impossible. Mm-hmm. It was
crazy.
A building just overhead.
Wow.
So yeah. Now the costumes are not only heavy and difficult to make, but they're also expensive. So the candidates are sponsored, okay, usually by a multinational corporation with a presence on the islands.
Mm-hmm.
The Hogar Canario Venezolano also sends its own queen and holds a privileged position in the next announcement parade. Costumes are usually made of feathers, plastic, metal, and paper. The queen is responsible for representing the carnival at tourism fairs as an ambassador for the Canary Islands. So it's one of the symbols of the Canary Islands, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. And there is like a parallel contest, okay, or election for a different kind of queens, which is the drag queen festival, okay. And I guess it works in the same way or in a very similar way, but instead of traditional queens, right, they are drag queens, right. It must be so much fun. I think it must be really, really.
It's on TV too.
It's on TV too.
You can watch it. Yeah, last year I watched it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And it's there are thousands of public there, and it's impressive. It's in Maspalomas. Uh-huh. You know it.
Uh-huh.
And you know it because you told me before.
I've never been on the Canary Islands. Yeah. That's a shame. But yes, I do know the, you know, these details, and the information. All right. So, well, basically, on Friday, during Carnival Week, there is the announcement parade. That means that all participating groups march along the main thoroughfares of the city, announcing the arrival of the Carnival. Okay? It lasts more than 4 hours in a row, so it's not bad. Then on Saturday... it's a day dedicated entirely to dance. You know, people on the Canary Islands love to dance. Okay, and these dances do not only cover the two or three main venue places, but all the connecting streets, bars, and cars playing their own music, etc. So it must be, you know, quite an event.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. And very important for the economy of the island.
Of course.
Because of the tourism and the sales during those days.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. I think, you know, the Canary Islands live on tourism and they, you know, this is, you know, like the most important event for them probably.
Surely, yeah.
Along with the summer.
Certainly.
All right. So on Monday, that's a day of feasting, you know, lots of eating and stuff, with performances at the main venues in the capital, okay? And then on Tuesday, it's the grand finale, okay? So on Carnival Tuesday, a coso, they call it coso, it's a parade, basically. The coso runs along the Avenida de Anaga, marking the official end of Carnival. Again, March carnival groups, floats, decorated carts, and the carnival queens. Okay, that must be so interesting as well. And then we have got Ash Wednesday. Okay, Miércoles de Ceniza, as we said before. That's the burial of the sardine. Okay.
Entierran a la sardina.
Yes. on Ash Wednesday, the first day of Lent, the burial of the sardine is celebrated. As I said, the streets of Santa Cruz are draped in mourning. A giant sardine made of paper is carried in a funeral procession, followed by wailing widows. Does it sound happy? No, it doesn't sound very happy so far.
No, but it is.
However,
it's a burial. You know,
on this day, on this event, the Catholic Church is mocked with participants dressed as popes, bishops, and nuns, imitating blessings and other religious rites, often accompanied by sexual objects and symbols.
Really? I didn't know that.
So, you know...
Yeah, these people know how to have fun. Yeah.
It's, but it has been kind of controversial sometimes.
It is heretic.
It sounds a little bit heretic, yeah. But, you know, but it's a celebration and people keep doing it.
Yeah, so, it's a tradition.
It's a tradition, you know. so that's the thing. So that's all I have to say about this carnival, this beautiful carnival. Now... let's move on. Let's move on to Europe. All right, Anna, where are we going now?
So now we are going to go to Venice.
Oh wow!
So we can talk about the Venice Festival or the Carnival of Venice, which is one of the oldest festivals held in Venice in Italy. So the festival is most famous for its masks that people wear during this event. And the carnival itself can be dated back to the 12th century.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yes, wow. And became official in the Renaissance period. And also during the 17th century, the carnival was seen as a way to show off Venice to the world. However... Under the rule of the King of Austria, the Venice Carnival was outlawed completely, and the use of masks became forbidden for a period of time.
Wow.
No, no, please. King of Austria. Why?
Okay, so perhaps we can talk a bit about the kind of masks and costumes please. That people wear. So obviously this is, the carnival is most famous for its distinctive masks, and it's common for people to attend the carnival wearing very elaborate masks and costumes.
Yeah, I think if you allow me, Anna, I think, can you think of the masks? I think the very distinctive, the very original, and everybody knows what we're talking about.
Very elegant.
If you go there, you buy one. is probably the most typical merchandise item from Venice. Yeah. Uh-huh. Probably.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Masks and they are and not cheap. Gondola.
They are not cheap yet.
Because they're very elaborate. Yep. I mean, they probably take a lot of work.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So one of actually the most important events is the contest of the most beautiful mask, which is judged by international costume and fashion designers. Mm. So there are specific types of masks that people wear during the carnival. So the first one we can talk about is the bata. So this is a mask which covers someone's entire face. And it was a traditional piece of art. So the mask had a stubborn chin line, no mouth, and lots of gilding. So lots of intricate design. Mm-hmm. And the mask has a square jawline, pointed and tilting upwards to enable the person wearing the mask to talk and obviously eat and drink without having to take it off.
Very important.
And obviously then no one can see their face still. So this kind of mask was often worn with a red cape and a tricorn.
Okay. I really like that thing, the cape.
Yeah, a cape is cool. Okay, so we can move on to another kind of mask that is very popular.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So the next one is the Columbia. So also known as the Columbine and Columbino. So this mask is a half mask. And it's often highly decorated with gold and silver and crystals and also feathers.
Mm-hmm. Sounds expensive.
Yes, very expensive. And this kind of mask is held up to the face by a baton or tied with ribbon, as with most other Venetian masks. So this is kind of the one that you hold, opposed to you've seen women who hold them.
So people can see your face.
Yeah. Yeah, so you can kind of take this one off.
It's easier to remove. Yeah.
This kind of mask was popularized by an early actress in the Commedia dell'arte of the same name. So it is said that it was designed for her because she did not wish to have her beautiful face covered completely.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she was a wise girl.
I really like it.
Okay. And one of the another kind of mask which was popular was the plague doctor mask. So this is also known as the Medico della Peste. So this kind of mask had a long beak and is one of the most bizarre and recognizable of the carnival's masks. So this had a very striking design, and the history of this mask originates from the 17th century French physician Charles Delorme, who adopted the mask together with other sanitary precautions while treating plague victims.
Wow.
Yeah, so have any of you seen this mask?
I think I do. I can picture in my mind.
Yeah.
And it's with a very long nose.
Yeah.
Looks like a beak.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I think I can picture it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you know, Anna, the TV show Taboo? You know, we were talking about it. Tom Hardy is the producer and the main character.
Yes.
There is a plaque, and the doctors
they use
those masks.
Yeah. Cool. And also the mask is white and it has a hollow beak and round eye holes, covered with crystal discs. Mm-hmm. And even today, although these are masks from hundreds and hundreds of years ago, now they are much more decorative.
Uh-huh. Okay.
They're beautiful anyway.
Yeah. The original kind of mask that they had, also they wore a black hat and a long black cloak, as well as the mask, and white gloves and a stick. Mm-hmm. And the reason that they did this was because they hoped the precautions would prevent them contracting the disease. Mm-hmm. So the mask or that costume is based on the original outfit.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought that, you know, that such a beautiful carnival would come from, you know, from a medical precaution by doctors. Wow.
Okay, so the popularity of this mask is well, it's one of the most popular of the celebration.
Yeah, all around the world, like everybody knows.
This, you can recognize
the
it.
Carnival. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Anna, has this carnival in Venice always been the same?
No, it hasn't. So there are periods of time when it has been in decline in the past. Mm-hmm. So in the 18th century, the wearing of these masks by Venetians continued for 6 months of the year, as the original religious association and significance with carnival diminished. Mm-hmm. So although it was very popular, there was a period of time where it began to decline. And this was because on October the 17th of 1797, Venice became part of the Austrian-held kingdom of Lombardy-Venetia. So when Napoleon signed the of Campo Formio, the Austrians took control of the city. So when the Austrians took control, the carnival fell into decline, or the festival began to diminish. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they stopped for many years, but obviously now it's very popular.
It's a tradition that I don't think it's going to be removed again, ever.
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's very good. That was very interesting.
Glad to go there. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Right, and finally, we move not just internationally, but we you know, go across the ocean. All right, and Brenda, let's go to your continent.
I wish I could have like the music of this.
Some samba.
Yeah, obrigado. We're going to talk about the Rio Carnival.
All right.
As you may know, this is not only the biggest carnival; it is also a benchmark against which every other carnival is compared. Do you guys know what is a benchmark? You have any idea?
A benchmark is like the standard.
Good. Mm-hmm. Yes, we use it in marketing, like to compare. And for example, Rio Carnival is like the top carnival in the world, and every other country compares to Rio Carnival.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, to, for example, Canarian Carnival or, yeah.
Yeah. So do you, Brenda, do you mean that it's even more important than Cuenca's Carnival? I cannot believe my ears.
I don't want to get into any trouble here. I just want to talk about the history of Rio Carnival. So the roots of Carnival trace back to the ancient Romans and Greeks, who celebrated the rites of spring across Europe, including France, Spain, and Portugal. Such traditions were carried over to the New World. Okay, so then the Portuguese first brought the concept of celebration of Carnival to Rio around 1850. After that, groups of people would parade through the streets playing music and dancing. Brazilians used to riot the carnival until it was accepted by the government as an expression of culture. So this is very important, because Rio Carnival is not only about, it's not only a celebration, because we were talking about their culture, music, food, everything. And I think we have to mention that the black slaves became actively involved in the celebrations because they were able to be free for 3 days.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
No wonder.
Yeah. You know, when you're a slave, you have to work since the day you are born until you die. So they only have these 3 days to be free.
Yep.
Okay. Then, by the end of the 18th century, the festivities were enriched by competitions, and they developed their own music and rhythm. Mm-hmm. So, you guys want to know what is Rio Carnival? Yeah, of course. Well, I found a very nice definition. Rio Carnival, it's a euphoric event where people dance, sing, party, and have an overdose fun. Una sobredosis de diversión. And when is celebrated? Well, Rio Carnival is a wild 5-day celebration, 40 days before Easter. Okay? Then you guys might want to know where it's celebrated. Uh-huh. And as you know, there are carnival celebrations on virtually every corner of Brazil.
Wow.
But the biggest and most famous carnival is undoubtedly Carnival in Rio de Janeiro. Okay? And one of the greatest elements of Rio Carnival is that it not only provides entertainment for many people around the world, but it also gives a chance to learn about the true culture of Brazil. As you may know, almost all the music played during the Rio Carnival is samba. Mm-hmm. Samba. Yeah. Did you know?
The sambódromo.
The sambódromo. Manu, you speak Portuguese.
Yeah, I do speak Portuguese and I do love it.
Can you say that I'm beautiful in Portuguese? Bella ragazza. No, yeah. That's Italian.
Es uma rapariga muito bela, muito linda.
Muito linda. Oi, me encanta. Muito linda.
But, you know, I do speak Portuguese, but I was taught, like, European Portuguese.
So it's different.
My teacher was from Lisbon, so mm-hmm. the kind of Portuguese. And all the practice that I've done in Portuguese have mm-hmm. been with Portuguese people from mm-hmm. our neighbors. So, the accent from Brazil is lovely,
yeah.
And I really, really enjoy it.
Yeah.
But no, that's not the one that I speak.
It's different. I studied with this guy from Brazil, and he told me about, like, the way they talk in Brazil. And
mm-hmm. So
it's
different.
Like the way I speak Spanish in my country and the way you guys speak Spanish here in Spain.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we were talking about samba. The word samba comes from the Angolan word semba, referring to a type of ritual music. It meant to pray or invoke the spirits, ancestors, and the gods of the African
pantheon.
Good. as a noun, it could mean a complaint, a cry, or something like the blues.
But it doesn't sound like anything blue at all, right? It sounds like fun. It sounds like, you know, it makes you want to dance. It makes you want to move.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Be happy.
Yeah, I agree with you. But maybe it was used by slaves to. Mm-hmm. To talk about their feelings mm-hmm. during that period of time. And nowadays it's like more with different rhythms. Maybe they changed a little bit. Okay, so visitors. Foreign visitors to Italy number around 500,000 every year. It's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Whoa.
For a couple of days.
It's more than Cuenca's population.
A little bit more, yeah.
Yeah, the same.
Yeah, you know, Brenda, you said the benchmark.
Yeah.
Okay, so we do the same.
Uh-huh.
We compare Cuenca with the rest of the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Cuenca is on the top of every benchmark.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
So
okay.
That's real.
So thanks very much. Okay,
you're
thanks,
welcome.
Brenda, for bringing us, Rio Carnival here. And thanks the rest of us, or the rest of you, I mean. Right. Now, but what's on in Cuenca apart from Carnival? Well, you know, Agus.
Yeah.
Or maybe Brenda, would you like to...
To talk a little bit, on Sunday the 26th,
uh-huh.
we're going to have storytelling and giants and big heads.
Mm-hmm.
That will be at 12 in the main square in front of the cathedral.
So the children can enjoy.
Yeah. Then there is a concert, the little band, at 1 p.m. in the pub La Edad de Oro.
Uh-huh.
And there's another concert on that same day, David y Javi, at 4:30 in the pub Las Tortugas. Turtles.
Of course, and not bad for the music.
No, and do we have something else, Manu?
Yes, I heard that on Wednesday the 1st, that would be Ash Wednesday, as we said before.
There which sets the beginning of Lent.
Okay. At Hobby Tavern, okay, Mangana Restaurant and the pubs La Edad de Oro, Las Tortugas and San Juan, Plaza Mayor, every drink will be served with a sardine.
Oh, you see?
That's original.
Everything is related.
Yeah. This is the first time I see such a thing. So that's good.
It's a tradition.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yep. I didn't know that.
Okay. So plus, you know, it's Carnival weekend. Mm-hmm. So, you know, of course you can enjoy many parties and many, you know, many fancy dress events. Yeah. So make sure you have fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
We
whatever
will.
You do, you know, have a blast this weekend.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay, so this is all the time that we have for today, but on the next program, we will be talking about how beneficial studying abroad is for you, among many other things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to go abroad again, right? This time to learn
going
English.
To travel.
All right. So, fine. So, time to say goodbye for now. Thank you very, very much, guys. So, thank you, Anna.
Thank you. Thank you for listening.
See you around here very soon. All right. Have a good Carnival weekend.
Thank you.
Brenda, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
See you, baby. No, I have to say, see you, baby.
Exactly, yeah.
I'll be back.
Okay, you need to get the voice.
I'll be back.
All right. Agus, thank you so much. All right.
You
do a great job. I say that every week, but it's absolutely true.
And you too, guys. You're
thank
amazing.
You.
Okay, and here on... You know,
thank
on the,
you, Manu.
All right. You're
doing
welcome.
A great job too.
All right, guys. So have a good weekend, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Radio Color, la radio libre de Cuenca.